warm welcome to everyone, to this vast crowd. How does the book of Revelation say it? A great multitude which no one could count. So on a feast day like this, it's right to gather together, and it's good to gather many people from many different places, because we're celebrating what will be our experience when we get to heaven, God willing. There will be a great multitude, impossible to count, from people of every age and every place, rejoicing, glorifying God, celebrating the great love of God. Well, that's what we're celebrating today, All Saints Day. We're celebrating this feast in this Jubilee year, and the theme of the Jubilee year, or the way that the Jubilee year identifies us, is that we are pilgrims of hope. So we're celebrating All Saints Day as pilgrims of hope. And this feast does fill us with hope, inspires us with hope, because it's a feast day that not only celebrates the saints in heaven, everybody who's in heaven, but it also gives us a great desire to join them in heaven. What is our hope, after all, but heaven? To be with God in heaven, to see God face to face in heaven. It's mentioned in today's second reading. The very last line says, everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope. What hope? Well, what he just said. St. John says, we are God's children now. Already we're God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We don't see it yet. That's why it's hope. It's something in the future. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall be like God, for we shall see him as he is. What the theologians call the beatific vision. We shall see God as he is, and then we shall be so transformed that we will be like him. Well, that's what the saints in heaven already experience. They see God, and they are like God. They are radiant with the glory of God. So this feast day, yes, honors the saints in heaven, and it also inspires us with a great longing to go to heaven, to join them in heaven, to be part of the communion of saints in heaven. This is our hope. That's why we're pilgrims of hope. If we're not thinking about heaven, if we're not imagining the glory of heaven, if we don't have some desire to go to heaven, well, then we're not pilgrims of hope. Because what are we hoping for? Something here? No, nothing here will satisfy our deepest longing, but heaven will. Now, when we think of the saints, usually we think of the great heroes that we honor as the canonized saints. The miracle workers, the founders, the martyrs, the great preachers, people who surpass us in many ways. And it's good to honor those saints because they do inspire us to strive to be greater. I mean, it's important to have heroes, great heroes. Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Padre Pio, Saint, I don't know, Ignatius of Antioch, Saint Thomas Aquinas. Now, we say when we look at them, well, we say we're not like that. We're not brilliant theologians. We're not miracle workers. We're not going all around the world. We're not enduring unimaginable persecution and suffering. We're just ordinary people. So one thing about today's feast is that it reminds us that in heaven, it's not only the extraordinary heroes, it's also what we would call ordinary heroes. People in heaven who, while they were on earth, did not strike anybody as being particularly great. Maybe they were patient, maybe they were loving, maybe they were dutiful, maybe they were prayerful, but nobody noticed them, really. But in heaven, they're radiant with glory. And we know some of these people, at least maybe the children don't know many people in heaven yet, because all the people that you know are still alive. But older people like us, we know people who have died and are in heaven. Maybe our own parents or grandparents, maybe relatives that we know, maybe good friends of ours who have died ahead of us, they're in heaven. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. Right over here in this memorial garden, we have the remains of Father Francis and Sister Barbara. Many of us know them. They're in heaven, rejoicing in heaven. Now, part of the challenge of a feast day like this is that heaven, or seeing God face to face, is very hard for us to imagine because it had not yet been revealed. And our images of heaven tend to be, well, maybe attractive, but not that great. Like, it's be better to go there than to go to a ball game or a concert or something that we would enjoy here. So we have to use our imagination. Today is a day to use our imagination in a good way and to think about heaven, to focus on this destination that we're hoping for. I've been told that in our times, because of the invasion of so much input from our gadgets, we don't have a very long attention span anymore because we're so used to being distracted by something else. And this is a challenge to us because it makes it harder for us to think about heaven when our attention is so easily attracted to the next video or the next post or the next game. But we have to use our imagination, think about heaven. Now, the scriptures use images. They spark our imagination. I'll pick out three of them. Music, a banquet, and a wedding. Music, banquet, wedding. These are things that are somehow like heaven. Okay, first of all, music. We know there's music in heaven because we know that the saints and the angels sing a new hymn. They're always singing. And we know there's trumpets, and we know there's harps, not real trumpets, because they're not physical trumpets, but there's something in heaven that's like trumpets. And trumpets make a very great, bold sound, right? And harps make a beautiful, harmonious sound. And then there are these choirs that sing in heaven. Now, this takes our imagination, because we know music that's very stirring to us, or very beautiful to us. It maybe brings us to tears, or moves us to great joy. Think of that kind of music, and then multiplying, say, greater than any music you've ever heard. And everybody there has a great voice. And they never get tired of singing. That's heaven. Okay, so if you like singing, you'll like it even more in heaven. If you like music, you'll like it even more in heaven. If you think music is beautiful here, it's even more beautiful in heaven. Okay, music. That's one image. One thing we use our imagination to say, what's the best music? What's the greatest sound we've ever heard? What's better in heaven? Okay, second image, the banquet. Jesus himself uses this image for eternal life. It's something like a rich banquet, great food and plenty of it. The hot food is hot, the cold food is cold, the ice cream isn't melted, the wine is very tasty, everything is great. And there's lots of it, and it's the most delicious food. Now, of course, we're not thinking of physical food at this stage, because the saints in heaven don't have bodies, so how can they eat? But there's something like that in heaven, something so delicious, something so satisfying, something so abundant that it's appealing to us. And in a banquet, remember, imagine you go into a big banquet with plenty of great food. If you were the only one there, you wouldn't enjoy it that much, because eating alone isn't that much fun. But what if you had a great banquet with great food, and then everybody that you know that you love, your best friends, your closest relatives, your parents, your children, maybe grandchildren, great-grandparents, everybody that you know, friends from the church, friends from work, friends from school, all celebrating with this great banquet. Okay, that's something like heaven. Only heaven's better than that. Music, banquet, wedding. A wedding. At a wedding, we celebrate love. We celebrate a communion of love. We don't have a better image for love than a bride and a groom. There's something, I don't know what, blissful in the image of a wedding. That's why movies usually have, romantic movies. They end with the handsome guy and the beautiful woman embracing, kissing in the sunset, and that moves everyone to say, well, that's what life should be like, but it should be harmony and love and beauty and communion. Now, we know that marriage isn't heaven on earth, but what's good about marriage and what's beautiful about a wedding is in heaven. It's a perfect, or not perfect, it's an image of heaven, a communion of love, the bliss of loving and being loved without end, without limit. Loving and being loved. So being loved by God, of course, but also loving God, being loved by everyone else who's there and loving them. That's heaven. Okay, I hope you're getting the idea. Now, it doesn't mean, this feast day doesn't mean that if we work hard enough and if we sing well enough and if we prepare good enough food and if we love enough, then we'll earn our way into heaven. It doesn't mean that. The saints in heaven are not there because they were better than everyone else. They're there because God wanted them there. He wants them there and he wants us there. Heaven is based on the love of God and the power of God and the mercy of God. It's not based on our goodness. Heaven is God's plan for us, not just our desire. Now, he wants it to be our desire too, but, and that's what this feast day does. It increases our desire to go to heaven. But God has a much greater desire for us to be in heaven. So we rely on him, on his power to transform us, to change us so that we can reign with him in heaven. Okay, last thought about heaven. I thought of some of the saints and their descriptions of heaven. The two saints that came to my mind are Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, and Saint Therese, a little flower. They're both doctors of the church, so what they say is reliable for us. Saint Bernard is the one who the church turns to in the office of readings, Liturgy of the Hours, and he asks this question. Saint Bernard says, well, what good is this feast day for the saints? What do they get out of it? And he says, they don't get anything out of it. They don't need this feast day. This feast day is for us to increase our longing to be with them. Because what happens is, God wants us to be in heaven, the saints want us to be in heaven, but we're the ones who sometimes don't even think about heaven. We get so distracted and we choose for such lesser goods. So he says, this feast day, it doesn't do anything for the saints. It doesn't give them anything, but it does give us a lot. It makes us want to go to heaven. So that's St. Bernard. St. Therese, or Therese, she looked at the saints in heaven. She said, I don't find that I'm like any of them. I can't achieve any of these great feats that we hear about in the saints. But she said, but I know there has to be love in heaven. There has to be a heart in the body of Christ. And she said, I'm going to be the heart. I'm going to love. And then she said, and then I'm just picking out ideas from some of her writings. When she was young, of course she was always young, but when she was younger, she loved to think about heaven because it inspired her to strive for greater holiness. But as she got closer to death, the Lord allowed her to experience a darkness, so dark that she couldn't even think about the goodness of heaven. She felt like it, as if it meant nothing to her. It didn't move her at all. Instead of peeking through the window and glimpsing what heaven was like, she felt like there was a wall that was so high she couldn't see over it. And she reflected on that. What is this? I know I'm called to go to heaven. I know I want to go to heaven, but I don't have any emotional attraction to heaven right now. It's all darkness. It seems as if it's fake. It's just a fake news. And what she realized was, there are people who do experience life like that. Atheists, people with no faith, they don't dream of going to heaven. They don't have a longing to go to heaven. So she realized she's been given this experience to unite herself with those people, with the atheists, and to break through that barrier The reason I mention it is because here I am talking about how great heaven is. There could well be people sitting right here who don't think that, who don't feel that, who have no attraction to heaven, rather stay here. But St. Therese had this experience of darkness to unite herself with people in that kind of darkness. And she said, even though I don't feel any attraction to heaven, I choose heaven. I choose to believe. That's faith. And her faith is a gift for all of us. That faith that says, even if I don't feel or see or have any attraction, I still believe and I still choose to pursue this goal. I'm still a pilgrim of hope. Okay, if you're not in that experience, well then stay with St. Bernard and stay with the idea of being inspired by thoughts of heaven. But if you're not inspired by thoughts of heaven, ask the intercession of St. Therese, because she knows what it's like. Okay, this is our feast day. This is the feast of all the saints. Yes, our feast day, meaning this is for us, not for them. It's our feast day because God wants us to join this heavenly communion. And we rejoice to have this invitation before us. We rejoice to be pilgrims of hope.